Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
One thing that this offseason has proved in quite a large fashion is that some of you Bulls fans, while you complain about Acme, are just as bad as anything Acme has done. On today's episode, I want to talk about where some of the fans' kind of misconceptions fall in at and how bad it is for trying to actually build a team. And then we're also going to dive into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I've been thinking about this, right? And thinking about the way that I want to present and have this conversation. And it gets to a point that I think Bulls fans have lost the plot, right? Now, I have said that also Acme has lost the plot in some way. So this is no way in saying that Acme is more right and Bulls fans are more wrong. No, I think we're all sitting in the muck. And I think that goes to a place of, when you aren't confident in your team's direction, it breeds a lot of questions about everything, right? And I think there's a couple of things here. One, Bulls fans that, and this is the thing that I want to attack first and foremost, is that Bulls fans who have the conversation like, anytime a trade comes up, why aren't we trading Patrick Williams instead? Like, do you understand the point of trading? I really, really need a lot of Bulls fans to kind of get this together, is that, yes, Patrick Williams is a bad contract. And it's bad, not because of the value of the contract, but because of the performance of the player. I would go on so far to say this, that you could move a bad contract if the performance of the player was still solid, but just not living up to the contract. It's very hard to move a player and not have to include an asset and definitely not getting anything back of note in a move where the player's performance is bad, right? So that's the first thing. Anytime anything with a move comes up, and somebody's like, oh my God, but we can do this, but not move Patrick Williams. Like, do you understand how bad of a thinking that is? And even more so, like, people who say, you didn't do this with Patrick Williams, you now want to negotiate? Do you want the Bulls to actually negotiate or not? And we're going to get into the flip side of this argument. Like, the Bulls made a bad deal with Patrick Williams. There's nothing, in no way, that you can now undo that deal. You can't. It's not going to happen. So now in this world where everything is like, oh, but you didn't do this with P. Will, it's done. It's in the books. It's over with. It's going to happen. Either they can learn from it or not. That means if they did learn from it and they start negotiating more consistently, we're not going to keep going back to, oh, but you didn't do this with P. Will. Okay, do you want them to start doing it or not? Right? It's just those little type of things. On top of that, I want to go into, like, recently it came out that Coby White could be asking for upwards of $30 million. Bulls fans are like, oh, just let him walk if he wants that much. You have a team with a completely clear cap sheet. I get it. The Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, the lack of mobility we had money-wise was absolutely terrible. But it seems like some Bulls fans have not updated their bullet points, their talking points from that point in time. This is not a Coby White getting $30 million is nothing near Zach LaVine getting a 30% of the salary cap. It's nothing near that. It's not even remotely close to 30% of the salary cap. On top of that, Zach LaVine got that money at a time where we had no flexibility. People forget, we didn't have cap space when we signed DeMar DeRozan. We didn't have the cap space. We didn't have the cap space when we got Alex Green. We didn't have no cap space at all. We had to maneuver that between exceptions and signing trades and those type of things, which is why we gave up assets. People now look at everything through, oh my God, we can't make this deal because it's going to make it hard to move and trade later down the road. First of all, you don't make deals to think about, oh, trading the play. That's a fan thing. That's just a fan mindset. The moment you saw, oh, we can move them, we can trade them on that contract. Now, there is some reasonable thinking in that to say, all right, you need to think about moves and give yourself flexibility. You need to, when you're doing these things, you need to get yourself, and that's what, like, the Bulls always giving player options instead of team options. They got a team option on Trey Jones. Those are those type of things. There are things to talk about in that, but, like, Coby White getting $30 million is not Zach LaVine money. It's not even close to Zach LaVine getting the max that he was eligible for at that point in time. It's not nearly as restrictive on top of the Chicago Bulls being in a completely different financial situation. I can't tell you guys and stress between here and in the Discord how much people just don't grasp the fact that the Bulls actually have financial flexibility. It's like people just really don't update or research their line of thinking at all. As far as the Josh Giddey thing, both sides of the coin here, right? For people to say, oh, the Bulls should just let Josh Giddey walk, it's stupid. Like, I'm sorry. Now, it's not stupid to say, hey, if you have a chance to get a more reasonable team contract, do that. Like, this ire that people have for Josh Giddey, like, the Bulls have had point guards that can, even if you just look at his baseline numbers last year, that can average 14, 8, and 7, that we've just had players like that walking through that door is crazy to me, right? And then even for that, the people that think, oh, well, even $20 million is too much of an overpay, are you high? Like real talk, are you high? Now, this is one of those episodes, and I got to give it, like, shout out to the people on Reddit that were like, oh, my God, CEO Hayes, and the way that he roasts listeners sometimes is going to stop him from mainstream success. Come on, my boy. You see me on more things than you see any other Bulls podcast. And yeah, I'm going to toot my own horn on that one. Like, the closest thing to it is Pat. And shout out to my brother, Pat the Designer, who's killing it. The biggest thing in Chicago media right now. Right. But, like regardless of that. And here's the thing. I've never been afraid to say when some shit is stupid, even with myself. Some stuff I look back on and it was stupid. I believed in Javon Carter. Right now, not that I said that to knock Coby White. If you go back and look at the time, because I already know people are going to, but what about Hayes and Javon? Yeah, I got it wrong on Javon Carter. I believed the hype at that point. Well, not necessarily the hype, but I looked at what he did in the margins and thought that the Bulls are going to able to improve in the margins. I say that to say we all get it wrong, right? We all get it wrong. At the end of the day, like, this thing that Bulls fans have, and I'm talking about a very small community. This is not all Bulls fans, but a very small community. And the fact that people think that there are legitimately, and I've had conversations with these people, that think you should let everybody walk if you don't view them as a star-level player. That's dumb. And at this point, too, the people that are ready to let everybody walk and say, oh my, you should want a player to develop in some type of structure. One of the stupidest things that I hear is people saying, oh, you can't pay Coby. He'd be the third best scorer on another team. Okay? And where are the Bulls at as a team? So, and I think a lot of this is rooted as well that people just do not like to admit or come to the realization that this Bulls team is not going to tank. You can come up with all the reasons why. You can come up with all the valid reasons of why the Bulls should tank, the increase in draft picks, whatever else you want to. This team is not going to tank. There's no covert tank coming. It's none of that. The Bulls team is not going to tank. So this isn't a conversation on will they or won't they, should they or shouldn't they. The fact of the matter is the Bulls have told us with their actions, they've told us with their words, they've said it in the moves that they've made. This is not a team that is going to tank to get a better draft pick. They're not going to do it. So again, this is eliminating the should we or could we or any of that conversation. The fact of the matter is they're not going to do it. They've shown they're not going to do it. The idea of letting talent walk, regardless of how you see that talent, letting talent walk for a team that needs talent and that you should want your players to develop in something like, and that's one of the things I think is stupid too, that people say, oh, well, P. Will couldn't develop because we had Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan on the team. All right, so if you can't develop with other talent on the team, like, I can get it where you're saying that, oh, they can't score 20 per game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the sheer fact of development. If you can only develop with nothing else on your team, that's how you develop players that end up being empty calorie stat scores. And that's just what it is. You shouldn't want that, right? So you should want some type of structure with your team and some type of other talent on the roster for your team to develop. Now, I can understand for the people that do have the mindset that the Bulls should be outright majorly tanking, try to bottom out, but they're not doing that. That is not what's happening here. So keep living in a world that's not reality, something that my brain just cannot fathom, right? And then again, and I'll even flip this as well. Because I talk about the people who say that Josh Giddey should walk, I also want to talk about the people who say, oh, the Bulls should just pay Josh Giddey anything that they want. No, that's bad business. Now, it'd be different if Josh Giddey had proven things at a high, and he's going to have an opportunity to do that. I want to be clear here. Me saying what I'm about to say is not to say that Josh Giddey can't or he won't prove it. But at this point, he hasn't. Now, that has not always been in his control. The Bulls' role when he started was very different here with Zach and Vooch cooking, and at the point where he started off with a foot injury and ended the season with a hand injury, right? OKC, they had an MVP caliber player at the position that best suited him. Not in his control. So now he has to, the player that he sees himself as, and I love that he sees himself as that player, because guess what? I want a player that sees himself as that and has the desire to be that. I don't want no more P. Wills. Josh Giddey's mindset is great as far as how he sees himself as a player. Now, go out and silence every single doubter, every single Bulls fan that doubts you, every single former OKC fan that doubted you, every single coach, GM, whatever, that doubts you, go out and prove it. And if he proves it, he should be walking in the next meeting for the next contract with the biggest smile. He should put his damn dick on the table and say, give me the max, motherfucker. And that's something he should be able to say. And I hope that he does it, because I hope the best for everybody in a Bulls uniform. But some Bulls fans are so caught up in either what they want to see the team do or caught up in narrative that is never going to happen, that then it gets to the point where we can't even have a functional conversation. And that's the bad part in this. Some, and again, I say this to a small community, think like they talk about Acme, but their thought process around what Acme has done is just as bad as Acme. And your response to what you want to see this Bulls team to do is just as bad as Acme. Letting talent walk is not the thing to do. You can do that when you have a certain level of talent already on your team. The problem is Bulls fans, some, want to act like we already got something here. We don't. Even people who say things like, oh, well, that wouldn't work on a playoff team. Can we get to the point of being a playoff team first before we can worry about what will and won't work on a playoff team? We're not even there. We're not even sniffing that. We got one playoff victory in a decade. Like that. That's what we're talking about here, right? So when the Bulls look at trying to keep talent in the building and seeing if they could develop that talent with where we are right now, the fact that we shifted direction, we have financial flexibility cap-wise, we have all of our first-round picks-wise, this is the time period, I said it before, this is going to be the longer play. And does it suck to a degree? Yes. But this is the longer play. And I need Bulls fans to dig in and realize where we are. And that doesn't mean that as we go through this, if wrong decisions are made, oh, best believe we're going to call the front office out for it. But some of us need to call ourselves out first. That's just my line of thinking. But all right, enough of that. It is Saturday. It means it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man. This first one, this one's from Korn.
What's the word, King Drip? This is your brother Korn, man. Hey, I'm early, so you can play this on time for the mailbag. But anyway, besides that, Kobe White, come up front and center. It's time to have a conversation, sir. Kobe. Me and you got it's mainly me that I don't trust him enough, but now I'm starting to get the trust back a little bit because I'm starting to want to believe. So I'm gonna wheel myself for this one. And I might be overstepping saying this. But looking at him, and now that he will be playing in the same role, finally we can look at him and his role will be the same. I want him to step up like a Jalen Brunson. I want him to have a Jalen Brunson type year. There's no secret that I've been wanting to trade him for the longest time. I'm on, you know, whatever, you know, always – like trade Kobe, he'll be worth more in assets. But then I sit back and I watch his game, and then I sit back and, you know, I had to sit back and watch the last 15 games, and it's something to him that if he keeps that going, he can have the special year that we all want from him. I'm not betting on him to lose. I don't want any Bulls player to lose. If this man go off and have that type of year, I will jump on the bandwagon just as fast as I jump off. It's just that simple. especially when it comes to Kobe. To me, I always felt like he got a lot more to prove than how people really view him. You know, I'm not saying that he's overrated. I'm just saying he still got to prove it. This is the year, sir. This is the year. So prove it, man. Prove it to me. Prove it. Prove all of us wrong. And I hope you do, man. I hope you prove me so wrong, man. Please do. Please, because that means that we're winning. And that's all I want us to do at the end of the day. I want to see a goddamn championship before I fucking die in this bitch. All right, King Drip. Love y'all. See Red. Blessings.
All right, I don't think that Kobe White can have a Jalen Brunson type year, and maybe this is just me taking the comparison too literal, but like part of what makes Jalen Brunson special when he goes into those modes is that Jalen Brunson is on ball most of the time. Even on possessions that don't end on him scoring, he has the ball in his hand so much as he's like the only on ball creator for that New York Knicks team. Kobe White is not, he's going to be sharing a backcourt with Josh Giddey, and so therefore he's not going to have that type of, and I don't know if Kobe even would be best in playing that way, is he's going to be that on-ball dominant because of the makeup of the team. Now, I will say this, like, Kobe's role has changed every single year. And now that it's not changing, theoretically, as we know right now, from last year coming into next year, the hope then is that he's going to be able to take his game and start, you know, rounding out some things of his game, getting to the free throw line more often, those type of things, the fourth quarter scoring, which he was good at a couple of years ago, those type of things is what I'm looking for, right? So I think that he has a lot to prove this season, especially if he wants over $30 million. This is going to be a big and important season for Kobe White to really show what he can do in that area, and I hope that he's up to the test. I hope he does. People like you who have doubts of Kobe White and stuff like that, and I say this, they're fair doubts. I hope that he can prove that wrong this season, and he's going to have an opportunity. I think if he can build off the chemistry that him and Josh Giddey showed.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Towards the end of the year, and if that is legitimate, and they can continue building off that and playing off each other and things like that, like, you could see a big year. I just don't know if it's going to be the Jalen Brunson type year. And like I said, it could just be my brain taking that comparison to one for one. And I can admit if that's the shortcoming in that. If you mean as far as like just making the big plays and stuff like that, like, Kobe did some of that, what, the 2023-24 season. And then he did some of it last year as well. But to see it more consistently, I can't knock you for wanting to see that at all. And I hope that we do get that version of Kobe White this season as well. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Vikram.
What's up, Hayes? This is Vikram. So I saw something about, I don't know, something about people, the Bulls fans, I feel like kind of is, they're kind of not clicking in their heads that, like, the 2026 offseason, we have, like, everybody's contracts off our books. And when I say off our books, I literally mean, like, off our books. Like, there's a real possibility, like, half of this roster doesn't come back. And I feel like people need to realize that, because, like, there is a real situation where we can, like, completely reset if it's, like, really not working. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen. But in the case that Kobe White doesn't really take a step, you know, Giddey doesn't look like how he did after the All-Star break, like, you know, the backcourt's not really working. Vooch just looks old, you know, Kevin Herter doesn't, like, you know, like, if things don't really go our way, we can just move on for everybody. Like, we literally can. And that's the best part about, like, having that flexibility. And I feel like, I know a lot of people talk about it, but people aren't really, I feel like a lot of other, like, I don't know how to put this in the right way, but, like, people aren't realizing that, you know, like, we have a lot of flexibility, and people are thinking, like, oh, big move has to come. Oh, that's not going to come because there's no real free agents, and we don't have, like, this great team where people will want to come. But, like, it doesn't really have to be that. We can go pick up, like, a couple, like, old, like, really under the radar restricted free agents, like say like a Benedict Mathurin doesn't take a step and he looks kind of weird. Like maybe we could throw an offer at him, like things like that. Like we could completely restart in with that flexibility. And this year should be a testing period to see, like, should we do that? Now, that puts a lot of faith in AK. And I don't really know if I have that faith that he's not just going to double down. Like, at the end of the day, he's probably just going to double down on whatever he does. Because that's just how he's been. But, yeah, if we don't really have what looks to be, like, a bright future this coming season, I think that the next offseason could be, like, the time where we reset. Maybe move off Kobe White and or Io, and run it with like Giddy and Modest and, you know, like some younger guys like Dalen Terry and stuff, you know? Yeah, just let me know what you think.
The summer of 2026 does offer the Bulls a pivot point, right? I did an episode on that where it's a pivot point. I think so many people hear that the Bulls have flexibility and like, oh, bet who we're signing, who we're doing this, like oh, what big free agent we're going to get. And I love that you pointed out, like, they could throw big money at somebody like Ben Mathurin, who's going to be a restricted free agent, which is actually a pretty good target for the Bulls that I didn't even think about. I haven't really looked into that free agency too deeply. I'm going to wait till we get through the season and see kind of all the extensions and stuff that happen. But, you know, that's a good one. But I do think that the Bulls are in a place where, based on how many contracts they have coming off the books next year, they can do one of two things. They can either try to make moves to supplement the talent that they have here, meaning bringing in skill sets that are better to kind of bring out or overcome some of the shortcomings of the roster. Or they can completely shift the direction of the roster and style of the roster. Whereas you have, you know, both Giddy and Kobe as both really on-ball, heavy on-ball players. Maybe you want to go out and get somebody who's better off-ball, right? Or those type of things. You want to prioritize more defense next to Kobe or Josh Giddy. Like, you have that opportunity to do that. So that flexibility is really key in this, to really completely change kind of the makeup of your roster. Now, the direction, that comes through how good those pieces fit together and how much you can win. But the summer of 2026 really is an inflection or a pivot point for the Bulls to really kind of decide a lot of what this next make that they're having, this next phase with, you know, all the first-round picks that they have and going to a more fast-paced style, a more modern style of basketball where you take threes and stuff like that. Like, they can solidify that vision. It's not always about signing the biggest name free agent or anything like that. I think if you go back to even the summer where the Bulls missed out on, like, Dwayne and LeBron and those guys, like, them getting Ronnie Brewer, Kyle Korver, C.J. Watson, you know, Carlos Boozer, who Booze had two really, really – people talk about Booze as if his whole time here was bad. Booze had, like, two or three really good seasons for the Chicago Bulls and then tailed off towards the end of that. So, like, it could be one of those things where – and keep in mind, people didn't look at the Bulls offseason as great, and then they turned around and were their best team in the East, right? Like, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily coming for the Bulls, but I'm saying that that ability to really add a ton of depth is a chance to really add some of what your team needs, and then your ceiling can raise. And so I think that you're right there. They have a huge opportunity to pivot in the summer of 2026. We just got to see if they're going to take advantage of it, which causes some people some stress when it comes down to it. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This next voicemail, this one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? This is Shay. Look, I'm not buying that there's no trade market for Nikola Vucevic, because when you're a guy, whether you be as old as Al Horford, when you give somebody, hell, just say 12 and 10, especially a team like the Golden State Warriors, that can help out a lot, especially when you look at teams who don't have a dominant inside presence, such as the Golden State Warriors and the Indiana Pacers. I think that AK is just trying to set his standards a little bit too high, and that's what I believe is steering people away from it. Now, I do believe that they're also trying to lowball the Bulls, but I don't believe that there's not a trade market out there for Nikola Vucevic, especially, let's face it, like we all say, 17-11 is hard to come by, especially when your team is not great at rebounding either. Trust me, a team like Boston, Golden State, especially after seeing how they got their ass mollywhopped by the Indiana Pacers, and a team like, what am I talking about, Indiana Pacers, or the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Indiana Pacers, who just lost Miles Turner. Trust me. Inside presence and consistent rebounding, you're going to want that, regardless of how old this guy is. Not to mention, he is a consistent scorer, and you look at teams like Indiana and Golden State, they do need that because, let's face it, Jimmy Butler's a good scorer, but outside of him and Stephen Curry, there's nobody who's going to give you a consistent 20. With Tyrese Halliburton going down, besides Pascal Siakam and maybe Ben McLemore, Ben Mathurin, who's going to give them a consistent 20? And on top of that, Vooch does offer playmaking in Indiana, in Golden State, Boston is definitely going to need that, especially with them not having a point guard in a type of way. I mean, although Steph Curry is a great playmaker, Draymond Green is a playmaker on the Golden State Warriors, but you need somebody to take that off of them in some kind of way. So basically, this voicemail is to say, Vucevic does offer a lot of things that people want and need besides his bad defense, which could be covered up for. I think that AK is just setting his...
First of all, Shay, Ben McLemore, like, bro, what is wrong with you, Shay? Like, this is why I say, Shay, sometimes you be rushing through stuff and you got nothing but time, my boy. But here's the thing. I wouldn't say that for sure Vooch has a market. I mean, look at Russell Westbrook, for example, right? Like, he's a player that can still absolutely do some positive things, but it's kind of situational. I think that's what we're running into with Vooch. The fact that teams know he's expiring, I think, is why you see the biggest knock on the market. It's not just because of the defense or anything like that, or even the contract. I think it's really because teams know he's why give up assets unless it's just expiring contracts if you know that you can you have a chance to sign Vooch in the offseason as an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, that's why I've said and have my theory that I do think the Bulls could extend Vooch if he's willing to do so, because then on a more reasonable contract, and then he's more movable in the offseason. So I think that that's something that could happen. I think the Bulls asking price definitely, I think, has played a part in it as well. I'm not going to act like that's not part of it too, but I think the fact that he's unrestricted in those type of things, that plays a big role in it as well, Shay. And we'll see what happens with Vooch. Vooch is still a very talented player. I think what he does well, he's going to do well for another handful of years. I can see Vooch playing for another 3-4 years easily, right, with what he's able to do. And I think that's something we're going to have to see how that develops for him, and we'll be here to watch. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Ace.
What's up, Hayes? This is Ace calling in. It's been a while, so I checked in. I want to talk about a few different things, just a few things I noticed after last season going into this season, and I just wanted to get everybody's thoughts on it. The first thing I want to bring up is that Zach Collins, how underrated he is. If you go back and watch those games where Zach Collins actually started when Vooch was hurt, the guy was putting up some hell of high numbers. I mean, he was incredible. And it was actually against some pretty good defenders. Zach Collins is kind of like a center that, in my opinion, it does everything well, but nothing great. Like, for instance, he's a hell of a passer from the top of the key. Bounce passes off the perimeter. When you got guys that can slash, like Isaac Okoro heading to the basket, Miles Bouzelis, he's going to come in handy. I just think that Zach Collins, in my opinion, will be a better starter than Nikola Vucevic. You know, he's a better shot blocker. Like I said, he slides his feet a little bit better. And I know we're paying Vooch, but at the end of the day, we're paying Patrick Williams, so I think it might be about time to fly Vooch to the bench, let him be the first guy off, and let him just dominate the second unit. And let Zach Collins, man, let him be the starting center. It's about time. Next thing I wanted to talk about was Isaac Okoro. You know, a lot of people are saying that maybe Io started the three or this, that, and the third. I get it. I like Io DeSumo. He's dope. But at the end of the day, Isaac Okoro is a great point of attack defender. He locked down some of the best point guards and shooting guards in the league last year. I just think he would be a better fit in a starting lineup versus any other wing that we got at the moment. So I wasn't too sad at them getting rid of Lonzo when they got him just from a defensive aspect of things, even though Lonzo is a great floor defensive player where he can tell people where to be. I think Isaac Okoro is pretty good at that point of attack defense. I think he'd be a good fit. Next thing I want to talk about is Matas Bouzelis. They got to get this guy the keys. I mean, so I have to let him make his mistakes. I know we got Kobe. I know we got Josh Giddey. And I love both of those guys. But the muscle that Matas put on and the way I saw him perform in summer league, why he's bumping bodies out of the way now, absorbing the contact, going to the hole, and he's ready. Like, he's ready. So as long as he can have a consistent jump shot, be able to get some shot fakes, you know, his off the dribble game is much better than it was. His confidence is better and his strength is there. So I think he's ready. They need to go ahead and pay Josh Giddey.
Listen, the run that Zach Collins had is great, but I don't think you can really take that run and extrapolate that to think that means it's going to be for a full season when we have years and years of Zach Collins' career to really look at. Zach Collins is a perfectly solid center. He's not better offensively than Nikola Vucevic. And really defensively, when you look at outside of that stretch, he's not really that much consistently better than Vuce. He is better than Vuce, but the margin between that is not that high really when you kind of look at the analytics. Now, maybe I'm too analytics focused, which I have the habit of being sometimes, and I can admit that, right? But I think that Vuce is a better starter overall. But, I mean, then you got to come up with the makeup of the team. Like, just because you're a better player, does Zach Collins bring something? And that's up to Billy Donovan and them to see. But I don't see Vuce going to the bench. Not while he's an expiring contract and the Bulls are going to try to look to move him. I don't see that happening. And I don't see Zach Collins keeping up that 8-game stretch that he had there up for a full season either, right? But we shall see. As far as Isaac Okoro or Io at the three, I mean, I think it's going to come down to Io, Kevin Huerter, and Isaac Okoro. I've said before that I think the Bulls are going to give a chance to the starting five that they finished last year on, considering all the margins and things with that starting five. I think they're going to want to give that another chance. But that's not to say that Isaac Okoro can't win it if he comes into training camp, fits in, those type of things. And I think it really comes down to, who brings what you need, right? Do you value more the point of attack? Which Io's a solid point of attack defender as well, but like, do you value that and you want Io's ability to create and transition and things like that coming off the bench? It really comes down to balancing. That's why the rotations are going to be really fun to watch how Billy Donovan and his coaching staff come up with rotations next year. I'm really excited to see that. As far as Modest is not ready to take the keys. He's not ready for the keys yet. He does not create his own. The majority of his shots were assisted, meaning that he didn't create his own shot yet. He didn't shoot the ball the best. Everything was either at the rim or at the three-point line. He has to show that he can, on the NBA level, create his own shot as well as be a playmaker. He's not ready for the keys yet. And that's just my personal opinion. I think a lot of people are ready to give Modest the keys, and he's not ready yet. Now, he could show it this season. I think building off of what he did last year, there's a huge opportunity for that. But you know, you don't want to give the keys too soon, and it would be too soon for Modest. He's too raw in too many areas of his game for him to get the keys to a team quite yet as far as on the basketball court. He has the keys to the Bulls social media and the marketing and all that, but as far as on-the-court basketball, he got quite a bit that he needs to prove before he's ready for that, at least in my opinion. But you guys can let me know how you feel down below. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like we like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.